Welcome to the Washington Heights Church weekly podcast. We do this to help people feel at home at WHC, where we help people meet and follow Jesus. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for joining us on the Washington Heights weekly podcast. And today I want to walk through an event that happens in the life of the church. And if you've been around for any length of time, you've seen it. And you've heard people who participate in it. It's called baptism. And if you know anything about churches of different kinds, you may know that there are different ways in which churches baptize, and that is the result of some different beliefs about baptism or some different understandings of what it is that the Bible teaches about baptism. So today, what I want to do is talk about our understanding of that, why it is that we baptize the way that we do, and just help us to get our arms around this issue so that when we see it, we just know where it's coming from and just have a better understanding of that. So I want to ask a couple questions here and then walk through those answers together with you. So first, who is it that should get baptized? Be baptized. Somebody who participates in that, what does that mean? What are they saying? What is it that the church understands about them? And here is a pattern that we see unfold consistently in the Bible. And it goes like this. First comes belief in the Jesus of the Bible, having a personal relationship with him, and then comes baptism. Let me give you a couple examples of that from the Bible. In Acts chapter 2, Peter, who walked with Jesus and failed him, was restored by him and became this, you know, just courageous spokesperson in the life of the early church, preaches a message on a day called Pentecost. It's a day when the church began. And at the end of that time, where Peter basically says, this is who Jesus was, why he came. Yeah, he was crucified, dead, buried. He rose again from the dead, and he invited people to put hope in him. And when people did, it says this in Acts 2:41, so those who received his word, Peter's word about Jesus, were baptized, and they were added to that number, about 3,000 souls. And so there, you know, is a first example of belief and followed by baptism, and that pattern continues. Later on in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8, verse 12, and there is a story about somebody who comes to faith and trust in Jesus as well, and says, but when they believed Philip as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So again, there was belief and baptism, and you probably noticed something right away in those two accounts, and we see this as a pattern in the Bible too. Doesn't have to be a long time between belief and baptism. There were times that it was immediately following, coming to that point of belief. Another example of that pattern is found just a couple chapters later in Acts chapter 10, verse 47. And once again, for the first time, Gentiles, people of a non-Jewish background, come to hear about Jesus, put their faith and trust in him. And then this question is asked by Peter, can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And so clearly there is this sense in which belief comes first. It is followed by baptism, and we begin to see that what happens in belief is internal, right? It's in somebody's heart. We can't see that unfold. What baptism begins to picture for us is an outward way for somebody to declare, and one of the things we see with this is they declare it publicly. It helps us in an outward way to see what somebody has committed in their heart, in their life. A little bit later in the book of Romans in the New Testament, Paul is writing, and he's helping us to understand what baptism means and the role that it plays in our life of faith and what it signifies. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And there Paul is helping us to understand one of the great pictures of baptism is that when somebody is lowered down into the water and then raised back up out of it, it is this identification, this picture, this symbol of being buried with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. But we're raised to live a whole new kind of life inside of a relationship together with him. And what it really, you know, helps us to understand is that baptism doesn't accomplish it. Again, what it's symbolizing for us in an outward way is what God is able to do when he transforms us from the inside out. Paul, also writing in the book of Galatians, says this in Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So clearly, again, there's this indication you already have a relationship with him. Baptism is the symbol that says you have put on Christ. That is where your life is now committed. It is who you have believed and who you are following. And baptism is a way for us to picture that, to symbolize that, to go public with that commitment of faith and trust that we have made. One more example from Paul, and there are others, but for the sake of time, I'll just give you one more. Paul writing in Colossians 2:12, "Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead." So again, it indicates you've put your faith there, and now here is this event, this symbol that helps us to see in an outward way what has taken place inwardly. One of the implications of what we're just talking about, too, is that we don't baptize infants, we don't baptize babies, we do baptize children who can, of their own accord and from their own conscience, just talk about their commitment to Jesus. And, you know, that has happened for children, you know, maybe as early as even 5 or 6 or 7. 5 may be a little bit early, but there is a clear sense in which that person is able to articulate their faith, belief followed by baptism. And we never are in a rush to get anyone baptized. We never want that to be something filled with any measure of guilt or pressure. It's always up to the individual to do that. But we don't baptize babies, and maybe you're familiar with that in some of the churches. And again, we won't go into the beliefs that are behind that. It takes a little bit too long. We're just talking again about what it is that we believe and practice. And we do recognize, you know, that it is an important event when a baby comes into a home and is blessed into the hands of a mom and a dad. And so what we practice is baby dedication. And that's where somebody comes before their church family and just, you know, recognizes that gift and wants to invite God into that experience of parenting, of raising that young life. But we believe that baptism waits for a future day when somebody can articulate their faith in Jesus for themselves. And that doesn't always have to be, you know, super complex. We've had a lot of children who have just come to the place of saying, you know what, Jesus died for me, and I love him, I trust him, I follow him. So it's not about complexity, but it is about the ability to articulate one's own faith. One of the other questions around baptism is, why do we baptize people by totally submerging them in water? And maybe you've seen different ways in which that has done. And let me tell you why we do that. A couple reasons. First, the word for baptism in the New Testament is one that probably will sound very familiar in the original Greek language in which the New Testament was written. The Greek word there is baptizo, and we think, wow, that sounds an awful lot like baptize. Well, there's a reason for that. It's called a transliteration, and that's when you take a word from its original language and then just bring it over into your language. And so baptize is a transliteration of the Greek word baptizo. Well, what does baptizo mean? Literally, it means to immerse or to submerge in water. And so baptism, just literally from the word itself, has that connotation of submerging. people in water. Also, when you look at some of the New Testament examples of people being baptized, whether it's Jesus or others, you know, clearly it says they went down into the water and they came up out of the water. And so it just indicates, you know, that was the way by which baptism was practiced in the New Testament, was submerging people in water. And also, we've already talked about this, that it's a picture of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection being identified with that. And it just makes sense that to totally submerge people in water is just a clearer picture of that, a more literal picture of that. Some folks will ask, you know, hey, does the amount of water, does it validate it, invalidate it? And you know what? We're not arguing for how much water. We practice baptism by immersion because we see that's what the word means, and that just seems to be the way in which it was practiced in the New Testament, and so that's what we do. Third question, is baptism necessary to be saved, to be in a relationship with God? And the simple answer to that is no. But I think there's also an aspect of the answer to that question that is important for us to flesh out. Because we say, okay, well, if it's not, then, you know, is it really that big a deal? And I would say, well, it's not essential for a relationship with God, but it is important. And it's something that we would not want to just easily dismiss, set aside, and say, well, if it's not essential, then, you know, what difference really does it make? A couple things I would say around that. That baptism was a clear command of Jesus. It was something that he did. He was baptized, and sometimes people ask, well, why would Jesus have to be baptized? You know, he never sinned or anything like that. He was identifying himself with the human race, all of us who have sinned. And so, yeah, he did not sin, but he allowed himself to be baptized. And then also some of his last words to his followers, and these were words not just to those disciples, students of his on that day just before he ascended into heaven. It really is words that apply to all of his followers through all time. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. And that means that we engage a world that does not know Jesus and talk about who Jesus is and invite people to put hope and trust in him. And then he goes on to say, baptizing them, the people who come to faith in him, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so part of Jesus' commission to us as a church is that we would engage a world that has yet to put hope and trust in him, see people put that, you know, trust in him, and then begin that journey, that life of faith together with him. Here's how we talk about that at Washington Heights, helping people meet and follow Jesus. And the part that comes along with that from a biblical perspective is that baptism accompanies that. So Jesus was real clear that as we go and as people are coming to faith, that baptism is part of it, not so that people can, you know, have a relationship with God. That comes by him and him alone and comes by God's grace alone. But it is an identifying uniqueness that comes with putting faith in Christ. And just to be real clear, you know, the Bible says that we're not saved by anything we do. We don't get a relationship with God because we perform, not with anything, not jumping through any hoops, not any level of performance of behavior earns us any favor with God. Because the Bible makes it real clear that we have been saved by grace. The means by which we appropriate that grace is through faith, by putting faith in Jesus. And then Paul, in that verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, goes on to say, salvation is not of works so that no one can boast. It is God's gift. And so let's be real clear, all right? A relationship with God comes by grace alone, nothing that we do. And yet, what we do can often be a way that indicates our response to who God is and to whom, to what God has given to us in our lives. And baptism is one of the ways that we can respond to that. And maybe somebody who might be thinking this who'd say, well, if it's not essential, is it really that big of a deal? You know, one of Jesus' first commands and easy to understand commands was that people would be baptized in his name who have come to faith. And would we really want to begin or facilitate our relationship with God by just seeing something that Jesus clearly said would be a part of following him and just say, yeah, I don't think I'm going to do that? Not a great way to begin our relationship with him, not a great way to facilitate that with him when we see something that is clear for us to understand and we just don't do it. We just take a pass on that. One of the reasons why is that many times people do that, they're really afraid of just being up in front of people and doing anything or saying anything or just even being visible in front of people. And I guess in response to that, think about Jesus who was on public display, nailed to a cross, naked, for your sin and mine. And I get that. You know, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool introvert. Getting up in front of people is not what I live for. But I think it's, you know, part of what Jesus called me to do. And I think in following him, there are moments we may need to stare down some of that fear that we might just naturally have in and of ourselves for the sake of the one who was willing to allow himself to be publicly put on display for our sake. And I think it's just one of those real ways in which we can take a step of faith. And from people who have done that, the feedback consistently that we hear is that, you know, that's just a defining moment in faith. And there are going to come times, you know, when our faith is strong, there are going to be times when our faith maybe wavers. And having that moment in which we took that public stand, put the stake in the ground and said, you know what, I put my hope and faith in Jesus and I'm going to follow him. That moment becomes just one of those cornerstones of faith. And that in moments when sometimes it gets a little bit hard to follow him, it's a great opportunity to look back on that time and place when we took that stand. And so, is it necessary to be baptized? No, it's not necessary, but it's really important. And to give another example of it not being necessary, you know, there was somebody crucified next to Jesus and who, you know, he was mocked by one of the people who was next to him. Another one said, you know, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, you know, today you will be with me in paradise. And so it wasn't, well, you'd be with me if you could get yourself baptized before. No, faith in Jesus alone is what makes us right with him. But that same Jesus to his followers just before he went to heaven said, go into all the world, make disciples, help people meet and follow Jesus, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's where people go public and say, that's where my hope and my trust is. Not essential, but it's really, really important as a part of a life of faith. Final question, what does baptism mean and what does it not mean? Baptism means in a symbolic outward way that we have put our hope and our faith in Jesus. My favorite illustration for talking about baptism, sometimes referred to it as the wedding ring of the faith. And right now I have a ring on my ring finger of my left hand. And if you can picture that, you know, for a moment, if I take that ring off, does it mean that I no longer am married to my wife, Sally? And the answer to that question is, well, no. I mean, the ring is not the relationship, right? The relationship is something very personal and something that, you know, was established at a point of time and has grown and matured in all kinds of different ways. But this ring that was put on the day we began that relationship is a symbol of that relationship. And so when somebody looks at that ring on my finger, one of the implications of having that ring on is I have made a commitment to someone, and that relationship is somewhat exclusive. I mean, very exclusive in marriage. And that ring stands as kind of a public symbol of that, something that people can see, even if they can't see, you know, me together with my wife, Sally. Well, in the same kind of way, baptism is that public statement, that public symbol that says, I've made a commitment to one whose name is Jesus, and I put my hope and my trust in him. And so it symbolizes that. It does not symbolize, you know, this is the moment in which somebody is taking this particular step of faith in water, being baptized, that leads them into a relationship with Christ. And we already talked about that. Belief comes first, followed by baptism. It can be very close in time, but baptism is not the step that leads us into a relationship with God. Nothing we do earns us favor or credit with God. That comes by grace alone, and we access that by putting faith in Jesus alone. Baptism also doesn't cleanse anyone from sin. You know, there's nothing magical about those waters. It is about going public and saying in front of the world, or maybe just one little snippet of it when that happens in front of somebody's church, of saying, you know what, I'll say it out loud. I'll say it, you know, to whoever, you know, wants to hear it, that I have surrendered my life. I've committed my life to following after Jesus. And so it doesn't accomplish anything for us. It is a public declaration of the commitment that we've already made to Jesus. It signifies our union with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. It does not mean that we have, you know, reached a new level or taken another step deeper with Jesus. And one of the things sometimes that people wonder is, well, you know, okay, I understand that baptism is important and all of that. I still got some stuff to work on, you know, and maybe once I get myself cleaned up or ready or, you know, reach another level here, I'll be ready to do that. But I don't think I'm ready to do that right now. And there's a phrase I heard a long time ago. It stuck with me, and I think it's really important around this whole discussion, that, again, based on those examples in the Bible, baptism is an initiation, not a graduation. And sometimes we may look to baptism and say, oh, well, those must be the really together people and the people of deep faith, and that's just not the example you see in the Bible. One day, a guy named Philip is with somebody who's, you know, flipping through the pages of the Bible in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, and they're saying, who is this guy talking about, this prophet? Who is he talking about? And Philip says, I'll tell you who it is. It's Jesus, and here's what happened. And right in that, you know, dialogue, there is that question that comes back from that guy who's curious and investigating. He says, hey, there's some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he is baptized on the day that he comes to faith. And so again, there can be this close proximity. Did that person have the time to get their whole life, you know, straightened up and fixed and, you know, get all the stuff out of there? No. And that is why baptism is pictured more as an initiation rather than a graduation. And that doesn't mean that, you know, we just say, oh, okay, you know, I trust Jesus and, hey, you know, I'll just keep going my merry way. A relationship with Jesus is drawing closer to him, following him all the more. It does mean that, you know, for all of us, this side of heaven, including me, that there are things throughout the remainder of our days that we just want to surrender to God, allow him to transform us, to change us, maybe to get some of those, you know, habits that we've established in who we are in and of ourselves or as a result of the things we've done or have been done to us. And God wants to, you know, transform us, change us, rearrange the furniture of our heart, whatever analogy you want to use for that. There's a God who wants to go to work for us, in us, and for us, and through us. And one of the ways in which we can just make that statement that that's the kind of life that we're pursuing, a life of faith that draws closer and closer to him, is to take a step of faith and all followed by baptism. And so if you're still curious about that, we'd love to answer any questions that you may have. Get in touch with us at the church. We'd love to just help you understand that all the more if you still have some questions around that. And we would love to celebrate that step with you. And one of the things we do whenever anybody goes public, you know, it's a little bit more like a party than it is this somber occasion. Why is that? Because we're celebrating the God who is still doing what he has been doing from the beginning of this broken world, and that is seeking to redeem and to restore people in a relationship with Him. And so every time somebody declares that, we get fired up about that, and we celebrate that, and I think that's right, and I think that's appropriate. We'd love to do that with you if that's a step that you still have to take, and just get in touch with us, and we'll walk you through all of that. Thanks for joining us today, and in the future, we'll come back to some of these issues that people have asked about, and we'll walk through it together. And again, the goal of all of this in this podcast is to just help us better understand who is Washington Heights and how do we understand where God is leading us and different ways we can become the church family that He is leading us to become. So thanks for joining us today, and we will see you next time on the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast. Thanks for joining us for the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast. A new podcast will post every Monday. We encourage you to check it out, subscribe to it as well. It'll come into your feed automatically. And if you want to share that with somebody that you know that maybe wants to find out a little bit more about Washington Heights, go ahead and share that. And we look forward to hearing from you as well. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.